Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Title of our lesson today is, Behold, I Send My Messenger. On Wednesday night, we were talking about Job and what a testimony he had when he says to Satan, Have you considered Job? And wouldn't it be good if he could say today, Have you considered my servant? And put your name in that spot. But here we find yet another testimony of one of God's people. Behold, I send my messenger. Are you a messenger of the Lord? I heard one person. I'll ask the question again. Are you a messenger of the Lord? The fact of the matter, if you are a born-again believer, you should be a messenger of the Lord. In Matthew 11, verses 10 and 11, we read, For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. May I say this, the Lord's coming back. And you, as a messenger of the Lord, shall be preparing the way, for he's coming back. But notice, it continues, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Not Noah, not Moses, not Abraham, not Joseph or Jacob, not Daniel or Job, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What an awesome thought. Shall we stand together? The book of Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Luke chapter 9, and I like hearing the pages turning, because not only are we Eaton Baptists, we're Bible Baptists, and I'm glad you bring your Bibles. Even if they're on your iPad or on your phone. I can always see your face better then because it lights it up. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, that being Jesus, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John, or John the Baptist, was risen from the dead. And of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded. But who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. John have I beheaded. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Johns who have, Lord, been willing to die in your name. We think of men and women who have been martyred for the faith, who loved you, yet love not their life. Lord, may we be strong in these days. May we be messengers. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The account of the murder of John the Baptist is found in two passages, Matthew chapter 14 and Mark 6. We find there four main characters. Of course, there's John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. There's Herod, the son of Herod the Great, who reigned when Jesus was born. Herodias, the former wife of Herod's brother Philip. Now you catch that, don't you? So that Herodias was Herod's what first? Sister-in-law. And then there is the unnamed daughter. Matthew 14:4 says, "For John said unto Herod," and I've added the word Herod there, but John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." Mark chapter 6, if you would, please. Mark chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 14. Mark chapter 6 and verse 14. "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that this is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead.' For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, 'It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." There in verse number 14, we find that Herod had heard of him. He had heard of Jesus. His fame had been spread abroad. I mean, after all, he was making lame men to walk. He had taken the blind and had made them so they could see, those who could not hear so they could indeed hear. He had taken the leper and removed the leprosy. He had done so many mighty works, and Herod had heard of him. But he was superstitious. Maybe he was the one that would not step on the crack because he didn't want to break his mother's back. He's the one that would throw salt over his shoulder or wouldn't walk under a ladder. Or if a black cat was nearby, oh, we don't want it walking in front of us. He said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. To be superstitious is to be irrational. It means to be fearful. Maybe you've known someone that was superstitious. We all remember Sparky Anderson and how he would not step on a line as he went across the foul line to go to the pitcher's mound to remove a pitcher. There have been others through the years. But we find in verses 16 through 18 that Herod was guilt-ridden. He was living in sin. And John challenged him about it. And he had John arrested and put into prison. For he said, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Folks, we live in a very immoral society. We live in a society that doesn't believe it's wrong to have sexual relations before marriage. We live in a society that really doesn't believe that it's even wrong to be immoral. They think that it's all right. But it's nothing new. It's just out in the open today. Verse 19, let's read it. "Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. Reverend Buddy Mullenix of Hendersonville, North Carolina, and I'm glad that I'm not in Hendersonville, North Carolina today. He says, we find here an angry woman. The book of Proverbs has much to say about angry women and how you don't want to be around one. She was an angry woman. And you can say, well, why was she angry? And Brother Mullenix continues, her sin had been uncovered. Her secret was exposed and her pride was hurt. How dare this well-dressed man? Oh, was he well-dressed? No. He had a funny appetite too, didn't he? Locusts and wild honey. Well, the wild honey might be okay, I guess. How many of you like wild honey? How many of you say, I'm glad they like wild honey? Yeah, somebody has to eat it. But here is a man that was clothed with camel's hair, and he was speaking out against her. Now, we think of free speech, and may I say this, when our founding fathers talked about free speech, it wasn't so that you could cuss out in front of people. Amen. It wasn't so that you could take the Bible or the cross and put it in a pool of urine. Amen. That wasn't what free speech was all about. Free speech was that if the government was doing wrong, that you were all right to call them on the carpet. It wasn't for pornography. It wasn't for the trash that we hear today. And they say, well, I have free speech. No, you don't. Common sense, which somehow has been lost, tells us that there are certain things we just simply don't do. And she did not like that this man, this Jew, how could he say these things about me? Now, I don't know how long she had been married to Philip, but it was long enough, I believe, to have a daughter that is going to be called on to dance. Okay, now we're not told how old she is. She could have been 15, she could have been 20. We don't know. So she had had a child, most likely with Philip. They had been married for many years, and now somehow she has taken and become Herod's wife. Maybe she liked the sound of being the king's wife. But her sin had been uncovered, her secret exposed, and her pride was hurt. And it sounds like many Baptist church congregations. Because most of us don't mind when the preacher preaches against sin as long as we don't name the sin. And it's mighty quiet in here. Because you're thinking, where's he going with this? But the fact of the matter is, we don't like it when people preach against our sin. Notice I said, when preachers preach against whose sin? Our sin. And there are times when this preacher is preached against his very own sin. And that's all right until my wife gets me home and says, you know, you said this. But she's such a loving person. She does it in a loving way. Yes, absolutely. Notice verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. Herod feared him, and yet he still put him in prison. Now, why do you think he put him in prison? Talk to me. Why do you think? I think there's one main reason he put him in prison. Why? Because of Herodias? Because Herodias said, I don't like him. You've got to shut him up. You've got to put him where no one can hear him. So what did that mean? Put him where? In prison. Put him in prison. Shut him up. There are people that want the preacher to shut up. But the fact of the matter, sin is what? Sin is sin. And sin leads to sin. And because Herod had married the wrong woman, what is going to happen to John the Baptist? He's going to behead him. Sin leads to sin. And don't ever say, it won't hurt anybody. Because sin hurts. It hurts. Verse 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his what? Birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. But we note that he made a supper for those people of importance. He made a supper so they could come and pat him on the back and make him feel good. But we're going to find in verse 22 that entertainment was provided. Entertainment. That, well, let's see what it says. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Virtually nothing is known about this daughter of Herodias, but much has been surmised. One time when my mother and I were discussing it, she said that she felt that this young girl had performed a striptease. Now, if you don't agree with my mother, you can discuss it with her when you get to heaven. But I can say this, that when she danced, it was not the dance of Moses' sister that we find in the book of Exodus. That it was not the dance of Ecclesiastes 3:4. Some say maybe it was a belly dance. Some say maybe it was the dance of the seven veils. We are not told, but whatever it was, we can believe that she was dressed very lewd. That her desire was to seduce the king. And she was successful. You see a TV program, maybe it's a murder mystery type thing, and the detectives go into a bar, and there's a dance floor full of lewdly dressed women. There's alcohol, there are drugs, there's sensuality, and there is trouble. The things go together. And you can be assured that on this day there was alcohol. You can be assured that as she danced, there were a lot of things going on. Verse 22 down through verse 25. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it to thee unto the half of my kingdom. And he went forth, and she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. You think John the Baptist should have been quiet and kept his opinion to himself? Well, do you like it when I preach and I don't make you feel good? No. The fact of the matter is, he preached because it was right. She should not have had, or he should not have had, his brother's wife. And verse 25 says, and she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. The dance had pleased Herod. He was intoxicated with drink and was tempted by her body. And he foolishly said in front of all his guests that he would give her up to half of his kingdom. He was influenced. He was influenced by godly people. And yet godly people sometimes will try to justify sin. They'll try to say, well, you don't understand. Whatever the sin may be, And I have heard justification of all kinds of sins. A pastor friend of mine told me, he said on a Sunday morning, he knew something was wrong. He said, I could feel it in the atmosphere of his church. And he said he came in and he asked his youth director, he said, what is wrong? And he says, you don't want to know. And he says, well, I guess you should tell me. He goes, well, and I'm going to put in some names here. He said, Jack's mother has decided to move in with Jill's dad. And Jill's dad has decided to move in with Jack's mother. Both couples were faithful in the church and they swapped partners. And they said that God made them do it. Yeah. That's what they said. God brought us together and we are in love. Is that love? Or is that lust? And yet there is the justifying of it. And so we find that people justify all kinds of sins. By and by, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. I thought about bringing a platter in today, but I just could not get ahead. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Wait till you leave, huh? Oh, wait till Halloween. Ah, yes. Verse 26. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Exceeding sorry, but I know I was wrong, but I'm not going to change. I'm not going to do that which is right. Pastor Mullenix writes, he was weak-kneed. I say he was a coward. Some would say he was truly a politician's politician. Sin leads to sin, which leads to sin, which leads to sin. And you see it right here. That the sin of Herod and Herodias led to the execution of John the Baptist. Matthew 14:23, the other scriptural reference to the murdering of John, says, when Jesus heard of it, heard of what? The execution of John the Baptist. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. Does sin bother our Lord? How about the sin of you? Does it bother him? How about the death of a saint? Does that bother him? What was John the Baptist to Jesus? They were what? They were cousins. And as he heard the story, now he knew it was coming. I sometimes wonder how much Jesus told John. I don't know how much interaction they had after Jesus began his ministry, but I wonder if Jesus said to John, you know, they're going to put you in prison and you're not going to leave alive. I wonder, would you want to know? No, I wouldn't want to know that. But it bothered Jesus so much that he separated himself. Because it bothered him. So who was wrong here? Was John the Baptist wrong? I mean, after all, he preached. He called someone out on their sin. Nehemiah pulled their hair. Brother Wutke, I think I've mentioned this before. I don't think I should pull people's hair. Yeah. Do you think I should call out names? Wow. John the Baptist did. You say, Pastor Paul, are you going to? Are you out of your minds? Are you crazy? No. I'll just preach what the Bible says and I'll just move on and let the Holy Spirit move. But let's stand together if you would, please. Song of invitation today is I Surrender All. Sometimes it takes an awful lot of guts to surrender. Sometimes it takes an awful lot of guts to say, Lord, help me. Help me. It took an awful lot of guts for John the Baptist to do what he did. But it's better to be right with the Lord than with the world's crowd. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord, now your hand upon this people who are here this day, who have heard this message. Lord, we ask that your will be done. And we know, Lord, that you don't strong-arm people and make them do it. But, Lord, you move in a right and soft and tender way. We ask, Lord, that your will be done during this invitation time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.